Once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
And we're on Insight here on this chilly Wednesday evening. And we welcome into studio Sophia Rodriguez, the candidate for the state representative for the
84th.
For the 84th district. That includes all of Mercer.
Right. And Southern Auglaize County and Northern Dart County.
And Northern Dart. And we've got Sophia's campaign staffer. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kyle Bruce with us, too. Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
Hi. So, you know, this is an exciting, important time of year. We've had several candidates for, you know, various offices, and it's great to have you on board.
Thank you. Thank you both to Neil and Jack for having us this evening. Appreciate that.
Fantastic. So, I tell you what, let's just start with a getting to know Sophia Rodriguez.
Okay.
Born, raised, education, work history.
Sure. Well, I'm Sophia Rodriguez. I'm a candidate for the 84th District, House District for Ohio. I was born and raised in Salina. I went to Salina City Schools, a graduate. I then went to Ohio University in Athens and got my undergraduate degree in Spanish. Started teaching. My first year teaching was the last year that Mendon Union was open. I don't know if any of you listening out there remember that. That was the last year they were open. And then I moved to Columbus for 2 years. The first year I was there, I worked at a daycare center. That was interesting.
I can imagine.
So, Jack, just thinking here, Jack, you probably played basketball in the Mendon gym, didn't you?
I did play basketball in Mendon, yes.
Yep, I was thinking that might have been about that time. So,
about that time,
That's 85 years ago when you were in high school.
Something like that.
Hey, wait a minute. 85, wait a minute. Then my second year, I taught at Bloom Carroll in Carroll, Ohio, and that was a really interesting year because I had like three jobs. I was teaching part time, I taught four classes a day, and then I would leave Bloom Carroll and I would go work at the deli at Big Bear. Remember Big Bear stores, right? Yeah. I worked at a deli at a Big Bear, worked there a few hours, and then I'd go home, eat dinner, and then I would go work at the JCPenney's catalog. And they would call in, and I'd be like, thank you for calling JCPenney's catalog. How can I help you? And take orders there. So that was really interesting because having those three jobs and trying to juggle the life of, you know, I was 27, and I'd live with my aunt and a friend of mine, and just, you know, surviving, you know, from, you know, really paycheck to paycheck. And then at that time, many of you may know, my family owns Casa Rodriguez, and I got a call, and they said, hey, we have a liquor license. We got a liquor license to sell, you know, top shelf. We want to make margaritas. Will you come and work weekends, you know, serving margaritas? And
so you got a fourth job.
Yeah, that's what happened, you know. And
as a side note, she brought us some of their absolutely famous, delicious jambalaya.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we are working on that here in the studio, and it is as good as advertised.
It is one of our top sellers, along with our enchiladas. And but it was at that time that the superintendent of Salina was going through the drive-thru because I was also working that, and he said, hey, Coldwater is looking for a Spanish teacher. You ought to give him a call because I know, you know. I called him. I got an interview. I didn't get hired at Coldwater at that time. But Mrs. Sinewall Valley got my name from them, and I got a job at Mrs. Sinewall Valley full time. And I was there at you know, Mrs. Sinewall Valley Blackhawks for 7 years. At the old school. They got a new school now, but I was there at the old school and worked there for 7 years. And then I got a phone call from one of the Spanish teachers at Coldwater, said, hey, we have an opening. you know, will you come and apply? And I did. And I, you know, I wasn't very optimistic because they didn't hire me the first time. And I got the job. So I've been there at Coldwater ever since for 23 years now. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
So was Lisa Wendell the superintendent at Miss Sinewalden, or she may have been a principal?
Yes,
then.
She was the middle school principal.
Okay.
And Joe Schaller was the high school principal. But I got to know Lisa Wendell. I got my principal's license, and I shadowed her for a couple of days, getting to know her and getting to know leadership. And eventually, I officiate weddings as well, and I actually officiated her last marriage. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, how cool.
So, Jack and Lisa are cousins. Their dads
really?
Are brothers.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about why you decided to run for state rep and your political background too. So we'll be back right after this.
And while we're taking a break, we're going to eat some jambalaya.
Yes, I am.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It's been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
The Cooper Farms Turkey Trot is back for its 15th year on Saturday, November 5th. Join us as we race, gobble, and once again give to our friends at Everhart Hospice Care. The Turkey Trot begins at Cooper Farms Processing Plant at 1 Cooper Farms Drive in St. Henry, Ohio. Registration and packet pickup begins at 9 a.m. with race starting at 10. Water and refreshments, including a to-go turkey meal, will be provided to all participants, as well as several door prizes awarded. To view full details and to register, visit speedyfeet.com and search for Cooper Farms Turkey Trot.
They did the Monster Mash.
Halloween festivities in Fort Recovery will be held on Sunday, October 30th. The traditional Halloween parade will start at the high school commons at 3 o'clock, and it will end at Van Trees Park, where the costume judging will start around 3:30. There will be prizes awarded in several categories of costumes. Then it's trick-or-treat time from 4 to 6. Residents, please turn on your porch light if you want the trick-or-treaters to stop. And trick-or-treaters, please only stop at the houses with their porch lights on. Sunday, October 30th, Halloween fun in Fort Recovery. Parade starting at the high school commons at 3, costume judging at Van Trees Park at 3:30, trick-or-treat from 4 to 6.
They did the Monster Mash. It was a graveyard.
And we're back. Insight. Jack Starkler talking to state representative candidate for the 84th District, Democratic candidate, Sophia Rodriguez, and Kyle Bruce, one of her campaign staffers. So Sophie, what made you decide? Okay, so you had four jobs. Mm-hmm. and decided to also get into politics. So, when was it that the whole political thing started to get in your blood?
How did it start? Well, that's a good question, because there's that saying, you know, if you don't want to get in politics, politics is more than happy to get in your life. And as a public educator, that's kind of how it started. You know, as a public educator, there used to be a time when educators in the classroom, you know, given a curriculum, could develop their curriculum and then teach that curriculum and then have services to help those kids that needed help, teamwork and leadership. And soon became where state and national policies started to influence what was happening in the classroom, what was happening with educators, support staff. And that's kind of when it hit for me, is if I don't use my voice as an educator to advocate for educators like myself, or you know, the custodial, the kitchen workers, advocating for my students who sometimes need help or direction, maybe they need counseling services. If I didn't start doing that, who was going to do it? And that's when I became very involved with the Ohio Education Association. And it's through there I became chair of the Western Ohio Education Association. And then I was always on the board of directors for the Ohio Education Association. And it was through there that on a national level, going to the National Education Association Representative Assemblies, that we saw how on a national level, advocating for public educators nationwide was also in need. And going to the Capitol and meeting with your state legislators and advocating for students' needs and educators' needs. And that's kind of how it all really started, that advocating for groups of people that sometimes can't advocate for themselves. And we need people like that. It was later in 2008, I ran for an open seat for Salina City Council, and I lost. But the current president at that time, he also ran for an at-large, got elected at-large, so the seat for the president of the council was open, and then they appointed me, and I was there for 2 years. And, you know, I really liked it. You know, as the president, you really, your job, your main job is just directing the meeting, getting the information in, making sure that everybody's aware of what's going to go on with the meeting. And it's not really about, you really don't have a vote unless there's a tie, but it's always about being informed about what's happening. I lost the election, but in that time then, I became even more involved with the association, the educational association, for my local, for my state, and national. And that's really where it all started for me, knowing how powerful a voice can be to advocate for those who cannot always advocate for themselves.
Very good. So is this your first effort at running for the state representative?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Very good. Let's go into a little bit of, so as a state representative candidate, mm-hmm. Okay, what does Sophia Rodriguez stand for?
Well, I can tell you, you know, a lot of people ask me that. Well, they say, why are you running? You know, one of my experiences, not only with public education, of course, is with Casa Rodriguez. You know, working in the kitchen, working in front, expediter, busser, you know, sometimes server. I will tell you, I can admit I'm not the best server. Right. But boy, I can set you up with chips and salsa and a drink, though. OK. And I can work it in the kitchen and, you know, doing everything from setting the plate to doing the dishes to cleaning the bathrooms, to, you know, bussing the table. You get to meet a lot of different people that in that aspect, but also your employees. You get to know their history, their stories, and their survival of how they're surviving. Sometimes for them it is a survival. Sometimes it's the second job. You know, for them, sometimes it's their only job, that if they're a single parent, and that's how they're making ends meet. And so as an advocate, you know, for public education is one, but also an advocate – for those, again, who don't have a voice. I'm running to be that voice for all those that have never had a chance to have a voice in Columbus. And that is important because for, you know, sometimes there is such a disconnect between an average citizen in a small town like Salina or Fort Recovery, Union City or Greenville or St. Mary's. And there's such a disconnect with them because they don't have a connection to Columbus. And when you get a person like me who, in public education, who knows a lot of students, a lot of parents, in restaurant business, who knows a lot of the customers and building relationships with that, now there's a connection with them. They have a voice. They can call me, they can message me, and they can say, hey, I have a concern. And that openness, that ability and trust for citizens to have in their representative is something that I want to be for them. And, you know, sometimes it can be frightening out there if you don't have anyone to hear you. And sure. For me, it is, I hear you. And more importantly, I see you. I see you. I see you in the kitchen. I see you as a cashier. I see you bussing. I see you washing the cars. You know, I see you. And you are important as anybody else, and you are valuable just like everybody else. As part of this community, you bring revenue in this community, you participate in this community, you pay your taxes in this community. You are just as important, and you have a voice. You should be able to have a voice.
Very good. So as the advocate, okay, what, you know, from your relationships with these many people, what's the message, what's the goal that you'd like to take to Columbus with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was kind of a forum where they had questions for us with the Rotaries of for St. Mary's and Walpock and New Bremen and New Knoxville. And one of the questions, and it was in my closing statement, I had talked about, they had asked, you know, what is it that you want for our district? And I said, you know, for me, it is about connecting with leadership in our district and asking the question, how can I help you? Is it revenue? Is it safety? Is it water? Is it, you know, the lake? Do you need help with lake improvement? Or how do we bring in revenue from recreational waters? The canal was a big one. We went to the nature walk and, you know, how does the canal bring in revenue for people who just want to, you know, set up a tent and sell their cookies? You know what I mean? Everybody wants to participate somehow. And so that question of, you know, what is it that I want to do? I want to represent, you know, everything about District 84, because the soul of District 84 are all the citizens, all the small businesses that create jobs, and, you know, and the municipalities. It was interesting. I was talking to the mayor of St. Mary's and also to some of the leadership in Salina, and we were talking about how in Columbus they have that rainy day fund of like $2.6 billion, and it's like, why aren't they setting up the municipalities, you know, for that money to come back to them? Because we all of us sitting here, we paid for that, we put money into that, and we may not get it back every year, but we should be getting back something some year, you know. And how do we, you know, so how do we set up something where grant money can be, you know, they can propose a grant and funnel that money back, whether it's for fire, whether it's police, whether it's for infrastructure, whether it's resources for the municipalities. And so by creating that avenue for municipalities or small businesses, I want to be that person, that middle person, helping our District 84 grow in small business, grow our municipalities to be safe with fire and police.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. So you talked about the debate that you had last mm-hmm. week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So as like you sat there next to your opponent,
mm-hmm.
As as like they asked the various questions and had the various topics. What was the topic that you felt like you two had the most similar approach, and what was the topic that you feel like you were at opposite ends of the spectrum?
That's a good point. So, you know, Angie and I, we sat on city council together, and Mark King, I mean, he comes in the restaurant a lot for lunch, you know, and so I think for both of us, we both want what's best for our district, especially when it comes to revenue, when it comes to safety, where it comes to fire. But I think the big differences between the two of us, first of all, is the Roe versus Wade. You know, we know that came down. You know, for me, she has a very specific opinion about her views on pro-life and pro-choice. And my belief, my philosophy is I trust the women in District 84 to be able to make their own healthcare decisions. I would not want to be in their shoes. I would not want to tell them how to do something or what they can and cannot do. But this is the decision that they should be able to make with their partner, with their husband, with their family, with their religious council, however they want to do it. That's the big difference between one of the big differences. I think, and I don't know if it's a similarity or a difference. So just to give a little history, you know, my mom is from Mexico, and my mom came to this area and to work the fields with her sister and her mom. In fact, my mom worked at the canning factory here in Fort Recovery, her and her sisters. And my dad, you know, he worked in the fields. They met, they eloped, and they became migrant workers. And they, you know, traveled all over Ohio and into Illinois, Indiana, Oklahoma, Texas. They picked cotton, they picked asparagus, they just picked about everything. And then they decided to settle back here because my dad was here. But immigration is a big thing. And, you know, the idea is globally, every nation has an immigration problem. Immigration happens, you know, people move out of their country because either, you know, safety, to get a job, you know, their family, they need money. They you know, go where the jobs are. They want to survive. That's their survival. That's what they know how to survive. They got to go somewhere else. And so for me, it's like, I know, you know, personally, you know, I know what it's like to work in the fields. I picked tomatoes. I hoed tomatoes when I was in high school. It's hard work out there in the summer, in the heat, you know. And I wouldn't want to do that job every day. But you know what? There's lots of people doing that job every day because that's the only job they know how to do. And for farmers, they need those people. They need people to come in agriculturally to help them with
I think the we farming. Figured that out during the pandemic when mm-hmm. people weren't allowed to come in and mm-hmm. farmers had to just they just had to let their vegetables rot mm-hmm. in the field.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anybody to do it.
Yeah, when we get our at Casa, we get our tortillas from a little tortilla tortilla making factory in Fort Wayne, and it was taking them a long time for the deliveries and orders, and you know, the guy was like, everybody left.
Yeah.
The pandemic hit and they all went back because they were afraid, you know, they were fearful. And so I think, you know, for me, I think we have a problem. Let's solve it. How do we solve it? Let's bring everybody to the table. Right. Let's bring everybody and let's solve this problem, because there's people that want to work and there's farmers that need help. Right. And it's not just farmers. They work in the construction company. They work in hotels and, you know, what have you. And let's solve this problem. How do we solve it? And so I think to me, there's work to be done. And I'm willing to do that work. I'm willing to invite people to my table. You can have a strong political view about it, but our job as representative is to solve problems for our district, and that's what we need to do. It doesn't matter what I believe in, what I like, but I know that I have a district that needs help. I want to help them, and how do I do that?
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and you know, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about how it seems like issues that used to be national issues are falling more and more on the states. Mm-hmm. And I think the role of the state legislature is going to become more and more important. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Part of our under 100-horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, you can run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. The Kubota B-Series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 8th, and that means the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and carryouts will be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and a drink. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. There's no pre-sale tickets this year. Tickets are only $7, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. So don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 8th.
We're back inside. Having a great helping of jambalaya, hot sauce, mild sauce, chips.
Pretty good.
You know what? I hope this night never ends.
Yeah. Well, if you put enough, if you get enough of that hot sauce in you, it never will end because it'll be up every 20 minutes with the belches at 2 in the morning. So kind of back off of that a little bit, maybe at our age.
That's true. So Sophia, we were talking about, and you talked about the immigration piece, mm-hmm. and the Roe v. Wade piece, mm-hmm. and it seems like more and more of these things are going back to the state level to have the state manage it to a certain extent. You know, what do they call the you know, cities that
municipalities?
No,
sanctuary cities.
Yes.
You know, oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
I mean, they've got sanctuary cities for everything, and so as like you look at this and you look at you talked about the Roe v. Wade thing, mm-hmm. okay, and I would not want to be responsible for making decisions like that. Okay. So how do you, let's say, you have a certain belief. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll pick a number. 60% of your constituents believe opposite. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, I'm running for, you know, my campaign slogan is, you know, let's put the us back in Columbus. But I'm not going to be deceitful in who I am. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. If you're going to elect me, you're going to elect me because I represent what your beliefs are. I represent what you think will be helpful for whatever business you're in or whatever your job is. And that's what you'll, you know, vote for me upon. And so even though I know that running as a Democrat in this area, we know is very challenging. And House Bill, you know, 2, Senate Bill 5 at the time. I don't know if you guys remember that. You know, Mercer County was one of the six counties that voted in support of it. And that, you know, that's huge. You know, as an educator, you know, being union strong with the Ohio and National Education Association. So, you know, I'm not running because I oppose something. I'm running because I want to do something. I want to be that person that you're looking for to represent you. And if I'm not that person, if your belief system is such that, you know, I can't, you know, I just can't do that. That's why we vote. That's your decision. But the hard part is some of these, you know, tough decisions like Roe versus Wade or immigration or LGBTQ issues that are being pushed on us on a local level really shouldn't have to be pushed on us on a local level. So the argument is, you know, I don't want big government, but I'm going to tell you what to do.
Yeah,
you can't have it both ways, but it is both ways. It's working. It's happening right now in front of, you know, and so that's kind of hypocritical a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, Jack. I'm not here. I'm not here to take your vote, but I'm here to earn your vote. You know, I want to earn your vote because you look at me and you say, okay, you know what, Sophia Rodriguez, yeah, you know what, I've known her family a long time. I know she's a hard worker. I know she supports public education. I know she supports small businesses. You know, I know she believes in farmers, you know, in that aspect. And so those are the reasons you want to support a candidate. You vote for a candidate because they believe like you, right? Sometimes, though, even though they believe like you, they may not be the best candidate for you. And so that's why you have to ask more questions. What is your belief on Social Security? You know, what is your belief on retirement systems? You know, what is your belief on small businesses, taxes? Those are the questions that directly affect you as a local person. If you own a business, if you work, if you have a family, if you're farming, those are the questions you need to ask. Because sometimes that belief system, if you know, pro-life or pro-choice, that's a belief system you have that is going to directly affect if you're going to vote on that issue. But what about all the other issues that that directly really affect your pocketbook? Mm-hmm. Affect your parents, affect your family or your small business. And those are the things that you need to look at as you're looking at a candidate. So me running, I know Mercer County is a red county. But I also know that my voice is like a lot of other voices here in Mercer County and in Auglaize County and in Dark County, in small businesses, in public education.
Now, another thing that I think is really important, even if they don't necessarily agree with your view on certain things, if they know you and know that you're a good, honest, straightforward person that they can go talk to, even if you don't agree with everything, you know that you can be voting for electing a high quality person who is willing to listen to other people and tell you why this and this, instead of some schmoozing, fast-talking person. I'm not sure we have any of those around here, but God knows they're all over the county and all over the state and the country. And if you can find an honest person, in my head, that's even more important than what their views are on certain things. Now, on a president or somebody like that, you do have to go by the views. But if it's somebody representing a whole bunch of people and there's a bunch of other ones like them, like so we're the 84th, so there's at least 84 people in Columbus like you, you don't get to go dictate. But we know that we have somebody we can trust sitting in there. And that's what we really need to have. We need to have somebody that we know is for us, even if we don't necessarily agree on specific issues. But sorry, Anna.
That's the exact point. You know, most people they want somebody to hear them and to listen to them.
Yep.
And today I got a phone call. Actually, I got a message yesterday. Senior citizen in Salina. She wanted to talk to me about her living situation, and she said, "She's like, you know what, Sophia? I know that you can't do anything about it now, but I know that you'll listen to me. I know that you hear me. And I want to tell you, I'm on a fixed income. And I think we're going to need help soon. And I said, well, that's what I want to do. I said, you know what? My mom is 85. My dad's 84. And they're on a fixed income. And they have health issues. And how do we adjust that? How do we, you know, they've been saving their whole lives so they can retire in comfort. And some people don't want them to do that. Yeah. You know, they want to take part of their savings. That's wrong. You know what? We have a lot of hardworking people here in this district that have saved, worked so that they can have a good retirement, save for their kids' college, or save, you know, to redo that room that the kid left. Yeah. You know, have their little, you know, man cave. And so they want to be heard. They want to know that you're right, that somebody hears them, sees them, and will listen to them. And I can't imagine not looking at someone, listening to their story, and having a compassion about it, you know. And even though you may not like that what hat they're wearing, you know what? They have a history. They have a struggle, and they deserve to be heard.
But isn't that one of the complicated issues? And you know what? You see every politician on both sides of the aisle when there's a State of the Union message, or, you know, and they, and I'll use the word parade, this person who was a military person, or is a disabled person, or is and they'll use these individual stories, and they can be absolutely heart-wrenching stories, okay? But isn't there a danger to setting public policy based off of individual stories?
Well, we're never alone in our stories. And I mean, if the idea, you know, a veteran, there are hundreds of thousands of veterans that have a story identical or similar to that survival for that veteran. I that's a hard question, because, you know, when you say parade them, you know, that person has to agree to be up there.
Sure.
Too.
Right.
They have
sure.
to agree to say, yeah, I know I'm going to be paraded, but I think it's important that I am paraded so it brings light to our cause.
If it's a one-off, an example of one person that isn't necessarily like a whole bunch of other people, their situation, but if it's, let's say, a veteran, there's hundreds, thousands of veterans that might have a similar thing, but if it's a situation in particular, but something where it's just one example of something that really isn't very prevalent. Is that kind of what you were thinking,
yeah.
Jack? He just stuck some jambalaya in his mouth. I didn't mean to ask you a question when you're eating the jambalaya, but you can nod. But I think that's if it's just a one-off example, to me that's not, that doesn't help. But if it's an example of a number of other people with very similar things, I think that's extremely helpful. But when you're showing,
your questions usually take a lot longer than that, Neil, so that's why I thought I had time to
I'm sorry, Jack.
So I tell you what, you have been all over Mercer County, Auglaize County, Dark County for at least the past 6 months, okay? And you've talked to a lot of people, you've seen a lot of things. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you, what have you learned?
Okay.
And, you know, how has that kind of helped you establish what you want to do after November 8th?
Okay.
So we'll be back right after that.
Ooh, good teaser, Jack. Back in a minute.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When
When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. ForRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4848.
With the weather getting cooler, we start thinking about making a big batch of chili, and Wayne Street Market has everything you'll need for your secret recipe. A large selection of seasonings, beans, tomato juice, and tomato soup, fresh and canned tomatoes, shredded cheese, crackers, and of course the ground chuck. And it's a good idea to order your holiday party trays now so they can avoid supply chain issues and have everything you need when it's party time in a few weeks. And you want to make them your first stop every morning with one of their many varieties of coffee and some of their fresh pastries. And if you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, stop into Wayne Street Market, where they always have good hot meals ready to go every day back in their deli. Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Indians football team will wrap up the regular season on Friday night as they go to the Wally Post Athletic Complex to take on the St. Henry Redskins. For Recovery Radio will broadcast the game live, and the NFHS video will be available. Our pregame show will start at 6:40. Make your plans now to get to St. Henry on Friday night to help cheer on our Indians before they start their playoffs next week. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back here on Insight with Sophia Rodriguez, and I let Jack know we were coming back 5 seconds after he put some of the awesome jambalaya in his mouth. So, again, my fault. I've done that to you twice, Jack.
That's twice.
Well, you know, it's good stuff. You know,
it really is.
Exactly, keep eating that.
And if we run out of things to do, you can just listen to us eat the chips and the jambalaya and the sauce.
Yep, that's very good stuff.
Yep, yes, it is.
So we had talked right before break, and I checked out your Facebook site, you know, and man, you've been all over the place. And if there's been more than three people that gathered, I think you kind of popped your head in to say hello, no matter where it was, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. So you've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people, both through that and over the years. So what have you learned? And how has that kind of set the tone for your campaign?
Okay. Well, you know, I have to start back to my work ethic, which I get from my mom and dad, Nacho and Tino. And they have always taught us that you have to work. My mom truly believed, she would always say, she would hold her hand out and she'd tap the palm and she's like, "You're worth is the work your hands do. You must work. You have to work. You have to do something, right?" And that work ethic I get honest from my parents. And second from my parents is that we are put on this earth to help people. If you're not helping people, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not working, you're not putting into the system, and you're not helping people. Right. And my mom and dad have done that as long as I know. I'm the youngest of four. So, and you know, it's been like that forever when I talk to my siblings. And so within that idea of work ethic and why we are put here is what happens is it creates an opportunity for you with that belief system to create relationships with individuals that you may not otherwise create relationships with. And you know, participating in nonprofits. What kind of clientele need those nonprofits, and what kind of leadership organizes those nonprofits? Working in public education, working with students, and getting to know families, their parents, and parents coming in and talking to you, creating relationships, helping those students go on to become productive citizens themselves. And those principles have really guided me to really to get to where I am today, and those relationships. And you had posed the question about what I've learned about the campaign is how valuable those relationships are. Sometimes we take those for granted. I think we just we don't always realize they're there. We don't always understand they're there. You know, we don't see that because, you know, sometimes we're so busy living our lives. You know, for me, it was about working. It was about helping, about servicing, about being of service, you know, to my students, to the staff. And so in deciding to run, it was like, I don't do this alone. No one can do it alone. Because you have to have people that support you and believe in you that you're going to do good things, right? You're doing it for the right reasons. And I've heard a lot of people on the campaign trail that I will tell you, when I first announced that I was running and, you know, the petition went in, and the very first text message I received was from someone I haven't heard from in a long time. And she said, "Sophia, I am ecstatic that you're running because now I have someone to vote for." And to me, that was like, why wouldn't you, you know, why weren't you voting for more for someone else? Because she didn't believe in anybody else. And so though they have to believe in you, they have to trust you. And they have to support you. But when I say have to, I mean they want to. The form that the meet and greet I had in Greenville was put together by two students, former students, who, to them, I guided them to be the adults that they are today.
Let me ask you a question about the students. Those particular students, were they people that, at the time when you were teaching them, that you felt like you were getting to, or were they kind of surprises? Because I know you'll run into a whole bunch of people and you're going, wow, I can't believe they made it, or man, or it's absolutely for sure they were going to be there. Because I've known a lot of teachers, and they tell a lot of stories about people they completely forgot or the world kind of wrote off, mm-hmm. and just by you being you made a huge difference, and they'll come back to you mm-hmm. and say things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had that happen some, but that you didn't even know that you did anything to influence them, and you're a huge influence because you did what you did without even thinking about it. When you're a giver, you just give and you don't even think about it. But
those two former students are both educators right now, and
that's awesome.
And they talk about how I influenced them. And you know, you don't go out, you know, I never went out to, I'm going to influence people to tell them, you know, and that you know, that's right. I just wanted to do good. I just wanted, you know, my dad says, why are you going in education? He goes, you know, they don't make very much money. And I said, well, Dad, I want to go into education because I want to help students. I want to share a history with them, my history, a culture with them. You know, I want to help them, you know, be productive citizens. I want to be there for them. Sometimes they need somebody to listen to them. I remember being in school. I just wanted somebody to hear me.
Yeah.
And then my dad goes, then you're doing it for the right reasons. Because if you're doing something for money, you're never doing it for the right reasons, right?
Yep.
If you're doing it for some kind of personal gain, you're never doing it for the right reasons.
Yep.
And that's how I was brought up. And so I think, you know, that message, you know, I have somebody to vote for, and that spoke volumes to me, because that person saw somewhat a bit of them in me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Somebody they could relate to, somebody they could trust, somebody they know they can call. They had my phone number. You know, a lot of people have my phone number, and they message me, or Facebook me, you know, message me, you know, comment on my, you know, It's interesting, being that 1 year in Mendon Union, I've had students reach out to me and saying, I remember you,
Yeah.
And having that impact as a public educator and to those students that, sometimes as educators, and I've been there, you get caught up in what your job is. Like, yeah. I'm supposed to teach you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, that.
And it, 6 hours of grading papers every night.
Right. But, the most rewarding aspect of education for me and everything I've ever done, honestly, is the relationships that have been created with the opportunities that I've had to be of service. And, when I look at Kyle and I look at Eric, my campaign manager.
Was Kyle one of your students?
No.
I was not.
No. But I created a relationship with Kyle because I was asked to speak at Pride, Salina Pride. And they knew me. I mean, I was just a teacher. I was just an educator. But I made an impact for them to say, Sophia would be a great speaker. I know she's spoken before. I have experience with that. And I think she would be a positive speaker for our group. And so it was your mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who? Who's this? And I'm like, And now I have a relationship with this entire family. And that's what it's all about. Those positive relationships and creating those relationships. You can better understand their history, where they come from, and how you can be of service to them.
Fantastic. So during our discussion, you mentioned a couple times about the importance of the small businesses. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you really haven't touched on the big bit on the big businesses. When you look at your area and you look at Captain Crown and Midmark and Whirlpool are four of the larger ones. There's a lot of lives that are dependent mm-hmm. on them too. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a bit about what you've done and what you would plan on doing to be a partner mm-hmm. with the big business too.
Can we use that as a teaser and give her a chance to think, and we'll take another break?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Give her a chance to think about that. Back in just a minute.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your moat or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049. Your partner in planning and making you first.
Hello, this is Mary Diller, co-chairman of the One of a Kind Auction. The One of a Kind Auction is an annual event held in Fort Recovery that raises funds to support our local museum, Project Recovery, and the Historical Society. This year's event will be held on Sunday, October 23rd, with a theme of Christmas in October. It is a perfect opportunity to get an early start on Christmas shopping and support local historical organizations at the same time. Items at this year's auction include destination trips, musical events, fashionable purses and jewelry, toys, Christmas decorations, unique handmade items, an ultimate Christmas package that includes all you need for a Christmas party, including Santa, and so much more. So come to spend the evening with us on Sunday, October 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School. Tickets are $10 per person and are available at the BU Boutique or contact me through Facebook. We hope to see you there. Happy holidays.
The Friends of the Library will be having a used book sale at the library this week. Here's your chance to get some great bargains on a nice selection of used books, audiobooks, and DVDs. Proceeds from the sale will be used to purchase materials and equipment for the library. Be sure to stop by and check out the bargains anytime this week at your library during their used book sale. Head up to your library to find some treasures all this week during normal library hours.
Insight. And we actually caught me without my mouth full, Neil. It's fantastic.
I gave you at least a little bit of warning this time.
Yes.
Harold, by the way, we have jambalaya and chips and hot and mild salsa, so dig in.
So, before we went to break, I had brought up, like, you mentioned the small business, okay? And there's a lot of people's lives in this area that revolves around the big business, too. So how have you partnered or would you partner with the big business to accomplish what you want to?
Oh, absolutely. Because when I was on city council as president, and that was one of the goals or one of the responsibilities as council is to bring business into city council so that we could create a revenue for our city by city taxes, right? And so, you know, Kyle here, we're both involved in small businesses. Our clientele, you know, a lot of them are people that work in Capped and Crown and the big business. So we need big business to create jobs, to create small businesses. You know, Intel, that's going to be up in Columbus, that's going to be huge because that's going to create not only all those jobs, but then it's going to create the need for small businesses like small restaurants or small, you know, hardware stores, something, you know, that will be that will need to be created, and those will create jobs. And yep. Then that creates, you know, revenue. It's like a chain.
Yeah, or like JR Enterprises mm-hmm. that are making parts for Honda, mm-hmm. their car division out there. There'll be all kinds of things like that, mm-hmm. you know, that are great businesses for a town our size, and there's dozens of those mm-hmm. Because of that, and that'll happen with Intel.
Oh yeah, and so we are dependent, right? And it's a good dependency to have small business and large businesses, right? Because it creates jobs, in turn those jobs create other jobs, in turn create other jobs, so it keeps that flow going. Because one of the things we learned during COVID is when that breaks down, some part of it breaks down, everything breaks down. And it's a matter of time, right? It's just, you know, it's like, you know, dominoes, the effect. It just click and then click and click until finally they get set back up again. You know, even like, you know, when people get laid off or there's a shutdown, they spend a little bit less money. They don't go out to eat as much, you know, or they're not shopping as much at the grocery store. You know, you have, you know, that's important. You know, we don't think about grocery stores or, you know, there's a lot of, sometimes there's criticisms with, well, I know with Walmart and the dollar store, but you know what? People work there too.
Yes.
You know, people work there too. And
those are real people.
Yeah. And you know, there has to, you have to figure out a balance between that. And, you know, I've had conversations with people that say they boycott things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say, well, you know, when you boycott something, it's not really the company you're hurting. It's the employee that makes that product that you're boycotting.
Yeah, and sometimes, let's say you're boycotting because they like this or this,
right,
or didn't like this or this. Mm-hmm. Those employees may or may not agree with that, but they need a job.
They need a job.
And if you if you're in a position where you can pick and choose that you only will work for people that you believe every single thing that they believe, I don't know if you'll ever find a job.
That won't happen.
You know, there'll be some things that are, I can't do that, but there are also things that, you know, I agree with 99%, but this other 1%, you know, I can get past that. But if it's like somebody that was an axe murderer, you don't want to work for them. You don't want to try to support them. Right. But kind of anything else, different political views, that's not necessarily a reason to say, I'm not going to work there.
Right.
You may decide you want to be somebody that says, I'm not going to buy anything there, but you're you're taking some money from that owner, but you're also taking some money from those employees.
So I don't want to get out of here without putting Kyle on the hot seat.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, what made you follow Sophia?
So through like creating and co-founding my own nonprofit, that's kind of how our relationship began, through the relationships that Sophia sort of created. And we built a really good relationship from that. And I think regardless of whether or not I would have believed in the same things that Sophia believed in politically, I think I would have felt compelled to follow anyways, because once you know Sophia, you know how genuine of a person she is. And I've sort of learned that even more so kind of getting to follow her around District 84 and getting to see how much love she has for the district, and honestly how crazy she knows it, because we'll go to Greenville and she may not have been there in a while. No maps. She will not use Google Maps. She won't use Apple Maps. She knows the district like the back of her hand. And she knows the people here really well. And, you know, it's just really, it's really rewarding getting to work for somebody that is just such an amazing person. And that would represent all of us in District 84.
Fantastic. See, he did good, didn't he? Sophie was thinking, oh, no, he asked Kyle a question.
I think she knew who she was bringing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You handled it well.
Thank you.
So, you know.
And if you ever want to discuss it with Kyle, he'll be at Pullman Bay time to time.
40 hours a week.
40 hours a week. There you go.
So Sophie, I don't want to get out of here without giving you the opportunity to say exactly what you want to the people of the 84th district.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say two things. First of all, I'm going to comment about Kyle. When you are in leadership, part of your responsibility is creating other leadership. And that leadership is created by modeling and including other individuals that have the potential to be leaders. Now, when I say leaders, you don't have to be a District 84th representative or the president of this or that. You don't have to. But leadership is about doing good or being of service to a group of people that need you, right? So including Kyle and my whole campaign team is, not only are they supporting me, but also I'm supporting them and the potential for them to be leaders, to be part of another campaign, lead their own campaign, or be that person that needs a campaign, committee. So that's the first thing I want to say about Kyle, because I'm very proud of Kyle. I'm very proud of the work that he's done. And I know that in the future, that one day Kyle's going to be sitting in this seat, right, answering your questions. And second of all, so My campaign slogan is, let's put the us, back in Columbus. Because for a long time, the us and, like, the people that work at the small businesses, families that are struggling, elderly that are wondering if they're going to, get a paycheck or if their rent's going to go up or, they, LGBTQ, the marginalized, they need a voice. And for me, that is so important, that those individuals, the us that are different, the us that are not like the usual leadership that you see in Columbus, that they have a voice and that they're valued and that they're just as important as everybody else, and that we contribute no matter what we look like, no matter what we do, where we come from, what our belief systems are, that we contribute to our communities, and that we must be valued equally to be able to participate. Because when you suppress, degrade, insult groups of people that you don't understand, that you're not even given a chance, you don't give yourself a chance to get to know, that you do your communities no service. And there's a balance that you have to find as a leader, that because you are representing, you're not representing one group of people. You're not representing two groups of people. You are representing a multiple of groups of people that have needs, desires, wants. They need support. They need somebody to listen to them and to hear them, but more importantly, to value them. And that's that idea, you know, comes from my parents, that says, you know, we are put on this earth to help people. And I truly believe that I am put on this earth to be of service, and whatever service that is. And I hope that I get the opportunity to be of service to District 84, to the community members of District 84. That is my hope. That is why I'm asking for your vote on November 8th. If you haven't already, early voted, because early voting is open.
Yes, it is. And we're going to go over tomorrow and record some of that type of information with the Board of Elections, so people know the facts on how to do that and when to do that and how long you can, you know, the postmark deadline and those kind of things. So yeah, it's, and one of the things that I think you touched on before and alluded to several times is, you know, even if you don't agree with everything I believe in, or if you don't agree with everything they believe in, your heart is in representing the people in this area and making things better for them. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. Trust. You said that word came up probably 15 times tonight. Trust is, and you know, the students that you've taught, the people that you've dealt with at Casa Rodriguez, I think they all seem to trust you a lot because you're a genuine person. Even if you don't agree with all of the things that Sophia agrees with, you know you can trust her, so you can talk to her. And so that's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Thank you.
Sophia, I tell you what, with or without the chips, salsa, and jambalaya, this has been a tremendously positive evening. You know, you represented yourself really well. You're well spoken. You're genuine. I don't think there's anybody that can doubt your heart and your commitment. So, it has been an absolute pleasure, lady.
Thank you. Thank you both very much for giving me an opportunity. So,
I wish you a lot of luck on November 8th.
Thank you.
Lord only knows what'll happen, but voters are pretty smart around here, so they'll make the best decision that they believe in. But you certainly represented yourself and your views really well tonight. So
thank you.
We thank you for coming. So we're going, Neil, I think we're going to take a little break and come back with sports talk.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll be back.
And we'll heat up the jambalaya and start again.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Of course.
We'll be back with Sports Talk in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard their name.